Okay, Simon Yud-Gimel. Dine Tzitzis V'Shavis Arva Tzitzios V'Akin Zedzeh. So, you have three, you know, and you know the fourth doesn't help. Shekol Zman She'ein Bar Arva Eina Tzitzis Kilchasa. It's not a kosher talis, it's not a kosher baged, if you don't have all four Tzitzis. V'Yotzi V'Rishus Haravim V'Shavis Chayiv Chatas. So, if a person would walk into Rishus Haravim, on Shabbos, so he'd be carrying the other tzitzis. You have three tzitzis, you know, they're four-corner garments, but there are three sets of strings. The fourth set is fell off, was never put on, so he'd be carrying it. And you're chayv achatas. So theoretically, you can violate the Isser of Hotzah by wearing pasul tzitzis. When the tzitzis... again, it's not so clear, you know, why this is so. It seems like if you were planning on throwing out the strings, it would be bottled to the baguette. But if, like, the strings have chashivus, so you have three sets of strings, and you won't want them there, but they're not functional because the fourth is missing, so a mela, it's considered as if you're carrying. You're allowed to wear a talis on Shabbos because those strings are, the truth, it's not the beged. You're not wearing the strings, you're wearing the beged. But the tzitzis are there, the strings are there to makshir the beged, to allow you to wear it. And therefore it's considered a noy for the beged, and it's not considered a masa. So the Mechaber says you can even wear a talis katan. Again, provided even a talis katan, and even though there's no tcheles. Now, this issue of tcheles is actually an interesting discussion. We mentioned, I think, previously that the Valamor holds that the mitzvah of tcheles is ma'akiv lovin. So, machlokas in the Mishnah, it's machlokas we've shown him. Valamor says if you don't have tcheles, you shouldn't wear tzitzis, and he didn't wear tzitzis. Right, a lot of high school kids who I guess are choshish for the Valamor. You know, they don't want to wear any tzitzis, take their chances. So the limit's close on the kids who don't wear tzitzis, they're choshish for the Valamor. But Lamaisa, the we assume that you have to wear tzitzis, there's a mitzvah of lavan without tcheles. So therefore, you can wear it on Shabbos. There are briskers who are very choshish for Hotzah, so they say during the tcheles, the choshish for Allah, so they're on Shabbos outside for this reason.
They wear them inside.
They wear them inside because they don't want to wear them outside.
It's also because they don't trust the
Eruv. Right, obviously, if there's an Eruv, there's always Yisrael Hotzah. But they don't use the Eruv, and B, they think that Lavan alone might be a Shaila of Hotzah on Shabbos. There's also a deacon like them in the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Yud Tes of Hilchas Shabbos, Lachachav says, Eina talis hagemura masui. Talis HaGemura. So I think it's doing it around that way. That's like a strange, you know, brisker chum, it's not standard. So we hold that you're allowed to wear a talis outside, bein a talis katan, bein a talis gadol. Even at night. Why can you wear it at night? You know, at night, you're wearing a talis katan. There's no mitzvah of tzitzis at night. Again, if it's a beged shel yom, so there's a machokas. We mentioned previously, it's a Beged Shel Yom at night, so since it's a Beged Shel Yom, it could be there is a mitzvah. But according to some Rishonim, there's no mitzvah at night. And yet, you're still allowed to go walk outside at night with your talis katan on Shabbos, even though there's no Eruv, because we assume it's a noy for the Beged. It's a noy for the Beged. That's only when it's a kasher Beged. If there's only three out of four, you know, sets of sisters there, so then it would be a taka problem. The folks can talk about the fact that sometimes the tzitzis get like, you know, the talus gets crunched up. You wear it under your coat or your talus katan. Often you're wearing talus katan, so if it's a big talus katan, it sticks into your pants and it's not really being worn in a, you know, spread out. Then I guess assume that's not a problem. That's a derech levisha. It's a derech levisha, and therefore it's considered, you know, a regular. Again, there are those who are choshesh that you have the beged has to be totally spread out. If you would wrap the beged up like a scarf, that wouldn't be derech levisha. That's why it says here in the brackets, "V'rak shlo yemunach al ksefav." We don't have to assume, we don't have to check specifically that maybe the tzitzit is ripped, meaning we mentioned previously that it could be every morning it's a good idea to look to see the tzitzit are kosher. Maybe today it's less of an issue because our tzitzit are better quality, but there's nothing special about Shabbos. We assume that the same chazaka you have, you know, for the morning would apply for Shabbos as well. You don't have to check every time you leave your house on Shabbos. Maybe the tzitzit are pasul. It's not something that you're required to be choshish for. Questions, comments? Okay. There is a big discussion about a talis katan that's smaller than the shear. Mr. Brewer here writes that talis katan is smaller than the shear, you shouldn't wear it on Shabbos. Because it's not really chayv in tzitzis. And the Netziv wrote to him, Mr. Brewer, and they said, no, a talis katan, it's not like a pasul talis. It's a talis, so certainly children. Children wear tiny garments because they're kids, you know, 4-year-old boy. So it's not a shear. So he's not to wear it on Shabbos because it's annoying for the baguette, for his baguette. It's chinuch. But even an adult who will be wearing, obviously, ideally, we should wear a talis katan that is the shear. Today, it's very common that they sell the shear. But at once upon a time, it seems like the talis katans were very, very small. And it wasn't a shear. So, Aval Tichain, in many posts hold against the Mishpura, you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos because it's not considered a masoi. You're not really carrying the strings. The strings are there to enhance the baguette, even though the baguette is taka potter from tzitzis. Savior. Questions, comments? Okay. Fine. I mentioned previously that you're supposed to separate the strings before you wear them. On Shabbos, there's a discussion if the strings are very tangled, is that like a shaila of like matir? So the folks can say that if that's the case, it's better not to, it's better just to leave it, because it could be, you would say, with, you know, it's not clear that it's actually ma'akev. Although some people say that if it's just tangled a little bit, you can certainly undo it on Shabbos as well. And you have to be careful, I think I mentioned previously, that if the last knot gets undone a little bit, you shouldn't tighten it. Because on Shabbos, you're not allowed to tighten knots. You're not just making knots, but even tightening knots. You have to be careful not to do that on Shabbos either. Okay. You know the lo sif gimel, you know the Shabbos shu karmis shetalis alef pasul. Very interesting halacha. You're walking on Shabbos and you see that your tzitzis are rift. And you're outside. It's not Rosh Hashanah Darais. It's only Rosh Hashanah Darabanan. It's a karmelis. Lo yisir eni me'olam. Ah, she'egil aveitz the gadol kavod abrios. It's the concept of kavod abrios, which is docha, in this case, nisir darabanan. You're carrying in a karmelis. And kavod abrios is docha that. Again, kavod abrios is a function of the metzias. If you really feel like taking off your talis would be like, you know, very embarrassing, so that would be, you know, heter kavod abrios. If you don't really care and nobody really sees you or whatever, then there wouldn't be such a heter. But theoretically, kavod abrios is docha this iser. Rafilu talis katan shetakas begadav in tarak lifshot. Even to take off your talis katan, you don't have to take off. What din im nifsak echem tzitzis mispayish lishiv talis. So, if you're sitting in Shul and Shabbos, and you see your tzitzis are pasul, and you don't want to be the only guy without a talis. Again, if there's a talis in the Shul, you borrow a talis from the Chazan, or from the Amud, or whatever, there's no other talis, and you're embarrassed, you're the only guy without a talis. You call it loft of bracha, pikoch kavod abrios. You can put on the talis, and wear it, because since you're basically tie them, you can't retie them, so therefore, you're allowed to wear the talis, even though it's pasul, which is pretty interesting.
You don't need to tie it during the week either.
You know, the weekdays, we would tell you to take it off. Is it the next line? So, I got nasir. We would tell you, go fix it. Again, I'm not sure how relevant this is. I don't think people have such a bizarre if they, you know, talis is pasul, take it off. I don't know. Usually, you can borrow one. And if not, are you really going to be embarrassed? I don't know. I mean, it depends on the social.
When people get like spotty, they take it off. Like,
No, because it's already the tzitzis are the first knot, the chulios is not under that.
Only when you know the first
I think the rest of that you don't think you need to say.
Perfect.
Okay. Fine. This one says, "Yudale dinei tzitzis shasan ein Yehudi v'nashim." Tzitzis shasan ein Yehudi posel. The chesiv darav ben Yisrael afuk ein Yehudi. So, who can tie the tzitzis? Only a Jew can tie the tzitzis. The drasha of ben Yisrael, as opposed to goyim. A woman is allowed to tie tzitzis, according to the Mechaber. Says the Rama, the Rama says, should have a man tie the tzitzis. Yeah.
In general, I think this is more of a general question, but do we assume that like if a factory is like tying the tzitzis, like a machine is?
Oh, so that's a great question. When they do the machine usually does the tefillah. And you press the button, and the machine does the plying, the shazira, the tefillin, the shazira of the spinning and the plying of the threads. I'm not aware that they have machines that actually tie the tzitzis. If they did, it would be the same thing. That the poskim will hold, and most poskim hold that a machine that's being mufal lishma, namely the person pressing the button does it l'shem mitzvahs matzah, let's say. So the matzahs are matzahs mitzvah, and you can eat them in the little seder. So likewise, here too, it's sufficient.
You have to have a
Yid. Yeah, you have to have a Jew pressing the button l'shem mitzvahs tzitzis. Again, to best of my knowledge, they don't have machines that tie the tzitzis. In the summer, for his bar mitzvah, so it's the Rabbanut of Tel Aviv, Rav Arya Levine, Achraya Tashmisha Kedusha. So I heard there were issues with factories who's tying. It's hard to get people to work for minimum wage. It's easier to get an Arab or an Ovid Zar to do that. So they had problems with So I wanted to make sure everything was Masudr. So I called them up. So the first thing I said to him is, I hope it's okay if I ask. Your name is Rav Arya Levine. Are you Mishpacha? So he said, yeah, I'm a great great grandson. I said, okay. So I told him, I really enjoyed reading the books about his great-grandfather. Then I said to him, what's the story with these tzitzis? Is everything masudr with how they tie them? So he said that my great-grandfather was the Rav HaAsirim. He would go visit the Jewish, prisoners in the British prisons. And he was Mosir Nefesh to help them. I'm also connected to the prisoners of Eretz Yisrael. That's what he said to me. So, well, how so? They're Shomer Shabbos Jews in prison in Eretz Yisrael. And all prisoners have to do some type of menial labor as part of their, shikum. They think that if you just sit all day, you're not going to get better. But if you're involved, you get a salary and you work. So, pardon?
Rehabilitation.
Thank you. Cool. So he said, what do we do with the from Shomer Shabbos prisoners? You tie tzitzis. And he said, it's the best hashkacha in the world. Because, I give hashkacha in a factory, so I'm not there all the time. I come once in a while and see what's... Here, you have people 24-7 watching who's tying. Nobody else is going to tie tzitzis. So, anyway, you have from Jews tying tzitzis. That's the way to do it. If a non-from Jew ties tzitzis, if he fundamentally believes he's a mumar le'avon, it's also fine. If he doesn't believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's a mumar le'achis, so then, Lachara, it would be possible, the Vashtas.
And then we'll make the same drash of B'nai Shal, not B'nosis.
Oh, so, yeah, that's interesting. It's only a chumrah not to have women not do it. That's the accepted practice. And even by the Sephardim, the women don't do it. What's interesting is that at the Sephardim, and I think Ashkenaz also, we hold the Mikra Din, the woman can do the Tfiyah.
Right.
So I don't really understand what the difference is. In terms of the Tfiyah, women are okay, but when it comes to the Kshira, we say women shouldn't do it. So I'm not really sure. In that, but Lemaisa, I don't even know if the women do the tefillah. I'm not sure how it's done. I assume probably not. It used to be the women. We used to go as a yeshiva. We go to big matzahs before Pesach. So for years, women were the ones, kneading the dough and not kneading, but making like the. There's always a man kneading like in the big thing, and then the women were making the matzahs, and then the man threw it into the. Last year, I got there, and there were no women. Only men. Women were much better at, making the matzahs. So I asked, what's going on? Like, there's no day like that. So it seems like it was like a priestess issue. They didn't want all the men and the women to, mingle.
That was a good dance.
You might come to start dancing. You never know. Actually, one year, there was a guy in the call who brought a guitar, and then while we were making matzahs, we were, singing hollow. It was very good fun.
Yeah,
oh, yeah? Lame music. Anyway, so... Maybe they're worried that the woman starts singing. I don't know. Veseder. So the Mechaber says, in terms of a katan, so can a katan make tzitzis? So there is a concept of gadol omer al gabov. You know, if a gadol says to him, do it lishma. So we hold the chatchila, really a gadol should do it. You shouldn't have a katan omer al gabov. If he did it, the Mishmur says it's kasher. And there's a question, like, you know, can you have katani make tzitzis? Sometimes in camps, like, you want to teach the kids how it's activity, you know, make tzitzis. So the katani can certainly make tzitzis for their own beged. The question is, let's say they become bar mitzvah, you know, 6 months later. And now they made it, the tzitzis, when they were a katan. So the pashas is like b'di'evet, they made it, so it's kosher. That's what, according to Shabur, that would come out. Some are choshes that it's better not to. It's better for the counselor to do the first knot and the first kshira, you know, and then the chuluya and the second kshira, meaning the first two knots. So they, once that's done, then certainly the katan can do the rest. But Mikra, then it seems like it's fine for the katan to do it for himself, and then even if he grows older, he can still wear it when he is a gadol, because it's like a b'di'evet.
When the katan makes it, then when he turns around, it's still
b'di'evet,
or
so Mishmur says it's fine. Meaning, once b'di'evet, once it's done, it's kosher. Meaning, there are those who are machmir. Obviously, if there's a blind person, so a blind person is chayiv in tzitzis, even if he doesn't see, he's chayiv in tzitzis, and therefore he can make tzitzis. Again, it might be hard for him, but he's certainly chayiv in tzitzis, can make tzitzis. Yeah,
he's also chayiv in wearing.
Yeah.
So
that's we saw. Oh, we didn't see it yet. In Sif Simon Yud Zayin. Alpha P Kav Zaksi. We're using also Suma Chayiv Tzitzis Yud Zayin Aleph. So we'll get there. So he's again technically it might be hard for him to tie them because he's just the measure, you know. But okay. Right there. Beis Hitl Yisrael Tzitzis Bebegit Belo Kavana. So in addition to having a Jew make the Tzitzis, he has to do it L'shem Tzitzis. With kavana, ideally he should say it. Peh. If he thought it, it's also enough. But let's say he didn't think of it at all. He did it without kavana. He was obviously wasn't even like no project. You know, hitel Yisrael tzitzis beged belokas acherim lachshira yish lismach al haram shemach. The Ram holds that there's no need for making lishma when you tie it. The lishma is only when you make the chutin, when you do the tefillah and the shazira, but not when you tie it. So b'di'evet will somach in the Rambam, but lo yivarech alav, so you shouldn't say a bracha. So again, we try to avoid this. We try to, before you put the strings in the beged, you say l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. You say it once. Say all the strings I'm going to tie in this beged l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. Then you're fine. I think I mentioned in the past. You can talk. You can do it at night. Some poskim have chumras. They don't want you to talk. They don't want to do it at night. Those are just chumras. Not really clear where they come from exactly. You should do it lishma. If you didn't think it was an art project, but you just weren't thinking so much, so there is a question: can you say like some stama lishma here? Because you know, why do you have tzitzis? You know, it's obvious that you're doing the shem mitzvah.
Every fourth is shem.
No, you say it once. You say it once. You see, the best way to say it is that all the tzitzis I'm going to tie in this beged are the shem mitzvahs.
Even if, like,
even if you do the next one tomorrow, that's fine. There is a discussion if you like you didn't think about it, and only if even the hatala lebeged is significant. It's not just the kshir. It seems like even the hatala lebeged is significant. Like I said before, there's a good argument to say that in our day and age, where this beged is bought l'shem mitzvah, and it's pashut, it's not like a beged, nobody wears tzitzis unless it's l'shem mitzvah. So you could argue that today it's like stavon lishma, and therefore it's totally fine, even if you didn't think about it explicitly. It's also okay. Okay. Moving on, Sif Gimel. Sholem Chaver Talis Sheinim Tzietis Potrim Lehatil V'Tzitzis. The Tzitzis, the Pasuk speaks about Lachem, or Ksuscha, rather. It has to be Yur Ksus. So if it's not Yur Ksus, so it's similar to the din of Lachem we have, let's say, by Dalet Minim, that you're not Yotze with somebody else's Lulav. So too, you're not Yotze with somebody else's Talis. So if you borrow a Talis, you can wear it without Tzitzis. for 30 days. If once it's there by you for 30 days, it already looks like it's yours, and it's dinner of Zion, and therefore you should have to put on tzitzis. You give it back to your friend, and you take it back, you don't have to. If you borrow a talis when it has tzitzis on it, you're borrowing your friend's talis. You want to get an aliyah, so you take the talis from your friend. So the Chacham says, say a bracha. Now this really, the way the poskim understand it, it's really limited to a case where you're borrowing it because you want to wear the talis, to wear it. Then you can find your talis and fill it at home, so you want to borrow your friend's talis, so your kavana is, you want to go to the mitzvah. So therefore, you want a matana alas achsim, just like a lulav. You want to take the lulav to be yours. Here you want the talis to be yours. Therefore, you can say a bracha. But if you're just getting aliyah, so you're just wearing it for the covenant tzibur, you're not really wearing it the shei mitzvah, and therefore, if it's not yours, you don't need to be konet. You don't have covenant not to be konet, and therefore, you don't say a bracha. So again, the principle is very clear. You're only chayiv if it's your baged, unless you have it for 30 days, and then it's like a din of aris ha'in. And if you borrow it to the mechayin the mitzvah, so you have kavana almanas. Meaning, the guy doesn't have to be alarmed. Meaning, he says, I want to let you my house in tefillin, so he wants you to carry the mitzvah. So it's clear that he has kavana to let you be konet. But it's good to have kavana explicitly that you want to be konet, and you have to return it. If you don't return it, it's not on us lachzir, so then you're not yotzi. Yeah?
Someone who doesn't usually wear talis gadol, and let's say he goes out for a year or to lane,
so the shoals is more complicated. The shoals, it might be a din of shutfim, and therefore you might be chayiv to say a bracha on it. The minig even there is not to say a bracha, but it's better to borrow a talis from a friend, because the friend's talis certainly is pater, because it's borrowed. If you want to take it and to wear it for a little bit longer, sometimes in some shoals there's a minig that in mincha, they wear it at Shabbos mincha. They get an aliyah, so you wear the talis until after mincha. You ever see that? Like, yeah, there's a minig in some Yakisha shuls, it's like that. In Manhattan, I was once in a shul, they gave me. So, what's pshat in that? The pshat is that if you're wearing it to get an aliyah, so you say a bracha, but if you're just wearing aliyah, you're not really wearing it. So then they make you wear it, it's like till after mincha, so then it's more of a levisha. You know, the
so
shame.
If
you're going to say a bracha, you can do adifa, yeah.
But
the minhag is not to say a bracha. The minhag is people take a talis, certainly from their friend, just for an aliyah, they don't say a bracha. And even if it's a shul talis.
It's better to take it from your friend.
It's better to take it from a friend, because the shul talis is more of a suffix, because it could be the shul talis, it belongs to you. It should be.
Sure, yeah.
So if you're a member of the shul, so then. You know, in some shuls, they have talisim in the front. Like in modern shuls, people don't have talisim, so they, like, you know. Here for people to be konet, to be kind of the mitzvah. You know, that's the shuls in more yeshivish places, they don't have talisim. They have like two talisim, one for like the Baal Tefillah and one for Baal Kari. So then, you know, it depends how it was bought. If it was bought as shutfus, so then theoretically, if you're a member of the shul, you should have to say a bracha. But sometimes they dafka buy it with intention and it's only for the Baal Tefillah. Like one guy buys it, not from the shul funds. Like he donates it just for the Baal Tefillah, therefore it's partially you don't say a bracha. So the minhag does not say a bracha on these talisim either because, you know, it doesn't belong to you. I had an interesting svara, I don't know if it's true, but, you know, there is a din of shutfus if there's shutfus between people in Rechai, let's say a goy and a Jew of shutfus, or even a man and a woman of shutfus. So the fashtus is that the shutfus of the person's on chayiv patters the whole bag. So if you have shutfus, let's say with women who are members of the community, members of the kehillah, so their shutfus l'char should patter the, although it's more than 30 days. It's more than 30 days, so maybe your chayiv still.
I'm saying,
if you're not waiting for 30 days, it's just there for 30 days. Yeah.
Even saying? If you own a talis, you still, if you want, you can't just put it on without coming under the yotze?
No, l'chara it's a mitzvah.
Like right now, I can't just put
if you put your talis on, you should say a bracha.
Yeah, you can't just like put your talis on in front.
I mean, it's a mitzvah. We don't do mitzvahs without brachas. You know, if you put it on at night, let's say, so there's a suffix, the Yom Kippur night. So if you get the shul late and it's already after Shkia, so you put your talis on without a bracha, because then you're stuck. Because you can't say a bracha. So you say, you have das, that if there's a mitzvah to wear a beggar shal yom at night, you're becoming a mitzvah. But you can't say bracha because it's a suffix. But all things being equal, this daytime you should say bracha. Yeah.
If you're, you know, in the store trying on different
tzitzis, it's not yours. So then it's for sure not a problem. Now, I just to get back to your question, meaning theoretically, if you wear your talis just for a second, not l'shem levisha,
for a
photo opportunity, you know, you have a bar mitzvah, you know, or just for an aliyah. So if you could argue that you don't say a bracha if you're going to take off right away, it's not so pashut. Meaning, you could have kavana l'shem mitzvah. I definitely would have kavana l'shem mitzvah because I wouldn't want to vatel the mitzvah.
When it's someone else's, so then that changes.
Yeah, it's not yours.
I was going to say there's a few kids down here who like obviously they don't wear towels, but when they go to Dothan,
right,
they have like their own towels they put on.
Right.
So let's say that's 3 minutes altogether.
I think it's better if a Kohen has a talis for duchening and he owns a talis, it's better they wears it until after, you know, davening, I would think. Right? For a few minutes. I think they say
Brahma. I don't know. Obviously they have their own because the amount of talis is
not. Right, right. It's very, very common. The Kohanim in Erkisel, even if they don't duch, even if they wear it all the time, they have their own talis because it's just more. It's better that they say mitzvah.
If it's not theirs,
it's fine. It's not theirs, it's fine. No bracha.
I've seen it. Some places, not here.
That would be the reason.
Yeah, he has no problem.
I mean, it's only a question if they own it.
Yeah, if they don't own it, it's not a shayla. And again, if it's a talis of the tzibur, it is a shayla, but even then, the minhag is to assume, if it's a talis of the tzibur, you can just have kavanah not to be kona. Like, you're going to be mafker, you're chelek. The folks can talk about it. It's a little bit tarachin. The minhag is that people don't say brachas when they get aliyahs with talisim. Even your own talis, I'm not so sure if people say brachas. It could be they put it on the shei mitzvah, then at least put that a brachas.
If it's a kavanah of the tzibur, you're not putting it on for the mitzvah of tzitzis?
That's the argument. You could argue based on that, that nobody wears a talis because they're cold. Everybody wears a talis because it's for the, you know. So what's kavanah tzibur? What's the gather exactly? Kavanah tzibur. So you're wearing it because, okay, here's the gather. The gather is it's just for the tzibur. It's not for your own levisha. Even when we wear for our levisha, it's not levisha because we're called levisha for saying mitzvah. It's not even the same mitzvah. So therefore, people don't say it wrong. Yeah.
Would it be better for these kohanim to wear at the beginning of davening, like not even say bracha on their talis katan and just say?
There are kohanim who wear a talis even though they come from families that didn't have this practice, but there are people who started wearing talisim when they made aliyah because they want if they're anyway duchening every day, they
you could just say a bracha before you duchen.
You could, but you know, it's a mitzvah, so once you're doing the mitzvah you might as well do more of it, you know.
Right.
Wearing a talis, it's a very problematic minhag. The minhag that single men don't wear talisim is a strange minhag. It's a mitzvah, you know, why wouldn't you want to do it? But that's the minhag in Ashkenaz, and yeah, it seems like it's the same. Some people say that if people were very poor, they'd have to wait to the wedding until they can afford a talis. There are different justifications for it. Not everyone has it. The Yekis, many Yekis, wear a talis from their bar mitzvah. That lechara is a more proper minhag. Again, I'm not telling people to change their minhag. I'm just saying if you're a kohen anyway who's going to be buying a talis because he doesn't have to borrow every day, so, you know, if you have permission from your family, from your father, let's say your parents, so it makes sense to. I know somebody who got permission from his parents to wear a talis, and his father said to him, when you're in Eretz Yisrael, you can wear a talis every day. When you're in Chutz Laretz, he said he wanted it to be special for when you get married. I don't think the other special things of getting married, but he wanted this also to add to the specials of getting married. You should look forward. You shouldn't want to, you know, stay single his whole life. So, not what to look forward to. Anyway, sure, now he's happily married.
It is Gishrak.
Okay. Okay. Fine. Dalet mutter little talis chavera v'levarich olav v'levash yekafel osa yimetzosim v'kupelis. You're allowed to take your friend's talis, even without his permission, and say a bracha on it. But you have to return it. If you don't return it, then we assume the person wouldn't want you to borrow it. There's an assumption here that people want nichal inish lemavid mitzvah v'mamone. People want other Jews to have an opportunity to become a mitzvah. So if you're willing to lend your talis out, more than tefillin, says the Rama, also your tefillin. So according to what's printed here in the Shulchan Aruch Ramah, you can borrow a thousand tefillin. You can't borrow his Gemara, because that might rip. Now, some of the folks can point out that today the opposite might be true. I mean, today most people, we've printed Sfarim, it's very cheap. People are happy to let you borrow their Sfarim. Again, I don't know if they'd be happy for you to borrow it every day for a few hours, but to pick up a saver for a minute to learn something, people are not mad at it, generally. So you can assume that there's a safer on the table, you can open it up and learn something, you know, while you wait for the barber or whatever, you know, while you wait for the dentist. But in terms of thousand tefillin, some people are very nervous about their thousand tefillin. You know, tefillin are very, very expensive. Right, certainly if you adjust the cashiers, you have to adjust it back. Some folks are concerned about it. It's brought down here that it's mutter. Some people would pass straight up from the Shulchan Aruch. Rav Shekhar likes to say, you know, halacha doesn't change, the metzias changes. If the metzias changes, so memela, the halacha changes. So again, I think when it comes to Sfarim, even though it says here it's aser, many people are knowing to be makil, and there's no grounds to be makil, to borrow Sfarim. Again, I wouldn't take it into a different room, but if it's there, just open it up to learn for a few minutes. Unless it says aser, I think the minhag is assumed it's mutter. Comes to tefillin, so if we're in stock, you don't have a thousand tefillin. So to mevatel the mitzvah, I'd be nervous to you know not put on tefillin because I would say the mistama he's you know allows you. Again, I wouldn't do bekfias. I don't think people would want you every day to wear their thousand tefillin. But if you're stuck, so I think most people would say la'achar ma'isa, oh, you were stuck. I'm happy that you borrowed my talis and my tefillin. They'd be happier if you folded it exactly how they had it. So you should try to do that. You know, not to mess them up. You're something right and left, and the shaliyah, and the shalrosh, and people different minhagim. So just the kesher, they adjust it. You know. Okay. If for whatever reason you know for sure that he's makbir, then lachar you shouldn't borrow it. You can't steal to do a mitzvah. If you know for sure that he's makbir, he doesn't want.
Would it be an issue to be
machbid? It's not so nice to be machbid. I mean, it's not out there kalocha. You know, if you can overcome your yitzhahara, so that's the right thing to do. If you can't, then you're machbid. So, I mean, yeah, it's like, I think it's, you're not being machshel him in the issue. You're not something to even mamish, but you're, you know, you could have a chance to help somebody do a mitzvah, and you don't let him do a mitzvah.
It's like, if there's someone that,
Okay, but
that doesn't have the story of
mitzvah.
Oh,
probably depends on your. It's actually interesting you raise that. The question is: can a woman who's let's say potter from a mitzvah, can a woman borrow a shofar? A woman's potter from a shofar. So the Moshe assumes that even a woman, there's a key of mitzvah. There's a key of mitzvah. Even if she's not chayef, you still say nichle leinish lemavid mitzvah amore. If the it's clear that the Bible don't want it, pardon? Now there is a discussion when it comes to a lulav. So if I see a lulav on the table on the first day of Sukkot, I can't take it because it's not enough that nichle l'nish l'avid mitzvah amone. There I have to be kone, it has to be mine, and I can't take that's stealing. You can't steal it without to use it is one thing. To take it for myself, that's not the same. So the question they ask is when it comes to tzitzis, it has to be ksuska. It has to be ksuska to be able to be kind of mitzvah. So how can I borrow the talis? It's not enough to borrow it. I have to make it mine. I'm not l'achzer. And that, most people don't want to give away their objects, even if they're going to get them back later. To lend them is one thing, but to give them away is something else. So they say that it could be here that talis sh'ula, you can, even though you're potter from tzitzis, you could still say a bracha on it. Meaning, it's not that, by down minim, if it's shol, you're not yotze. But by talis sh'ula, you're potter, but you're allowed to say a bracha. But mela, that's why it's different here. Anyway, okay. What's Nogel Lamaisa, sometimes a person, you know, was at a shul, it was Sukkos Tara, he took off his talis, and he got a different talis. So, is he allowed to say a bracha? He realizes the next morning it's somebody else's talis. So, and the assumption is that the other guy has your talis. So, the poskim say, something basically true, is he argues that people, you know, want other people to do mitzvahs, and even if it's going to be until a few days till you find the person is, you have your this talis. And therefore, we can assume that in that case, as long as you're not trying to hide it, you're trying to, you know, you put up a sign, I'd like to, you know, return this talis to its rightful owner and get mine back, so that would be okay, and you can continue saying a bracha on that talis, which is, you know, interesting. I grew up in Montreal, so in the winter, everybody has, like, you know, over their shoes, they have these little rubbers. So you'll always get it mixing them up. So in one of the yeshivas there, there's like a big sign, like, you know, anybody puts rubbers here, it's al das, and somebody else, you know, takes them, they have complete rishus to use them, it shouldn't be shol midas. So these things happen. Obviously there's no mitzvah aspect. Here there's a mitzvah component.
You speak French?
A little bit. Anyway, here's a mitzvah component, so therefore it's more and more kal. The Seder. Hey. Talis shel shutafin chayavin specific zaksiv al kanfi bigayim. So if you have a talis that's shutfim, so you're chayav, as I mentioned before, a talis of a shul could be a talis of shutfim. Therefore, pashas it's chayav. You know, it's the fact that there are women who are also shutfim. I don't know if pater is because lachar it's after 30 days. I'm not really sure because it's not one person wearing it for 30 days. They're members of the shul. Yeah, women are members of the shul, so lachar they have a chelik in the talis. So, I don't know. I mean, certainly you could be konet. You know, it's there to be konet. If you want to be konet, the question is, you need to be konet. Are you automatically chayav, or did you first be konet? I'm not sure about that.
Well, if you say that women are also able to make the like, because not chayav in it, it's, you know, if we hold like that, they're still able to make a bracha on it technically.
So you're saying
that wouldn't be such a like a.
But they're not chayav. They're allowed to say a bracha on it, but it's
so
not.
Then we would also. I'm saying. So then, worse comes either way, then we can say a bracha on it.
Yeah. The question is, do you have to? Do you have to? You certainly can say a bracha. You can be konet. The question is, if you before you were konet, do you have to say a bracha? So you have to. So you're saying you should be able to anyway.
I'm saying, well, doesn't have to do with
no. How you
should not what's going to be. You could say that if you say that. Two ways to look at shutfas, right? You say that each person owns
the whole thing,
or everybody owns
part of it, right?
If everybody owns everything, so I own everything, so then I would be able to make a bracha as a chiyuv.
Right.
You can say that everyone owns a small percentage of it, so then maybe part of the beged is really not
high. Right. So you say Talian that suffix. I think the Shara Melech has that suffix. Shutfas mean. I remember the Shara Melech, but okay, they're going to discuss whether shutfas means each person owns part of it. You know, enough kamina, you know, should automatically cone everything, or is it free for all? Meaning, you know, the meaning is a gersh in New Yorkshire. Whatever. Okay, I'm not going to get into it right now. Yeah.
If it's like, if it's shufis, then like a base manager, if you're a member of the shul, so you should be able to take the, like, a saber home. Right?
There's certain tenayim on shutfus, so we can have a shutfus together, but we agree that we're going to only use the object that's joined only in that area. Yeah, meaning if people have a business, so you can't just take, you know, the chair home with you because you're a shutfus.
It sounds like it's the shul owns it, and they give you a shutfus to use it.
The shul is a shutfus, though, potentially. There are different types of shuls. Some shuls are privately owned. Most shuls are shutfus. So if it's a shutfus. Fine. Moving on to Simon Tezvav, im lahatir tzitzis beged lebeged, v'din nikra talis. V'din lahatir tzitzis v'talis zel litim talis acher. V'lashlo anicham v'veged acher lo. So we don't revatal the mitzvah. If you have a beged that has tzitzis, so if you take off the tzitzis stami and you don't put it into another beged, that's like a bitl mitzvah. The post can bring down that if there's a reason for it, for example, let's say that some of the tzitzis is ripped. So it's kosher according to, you know, the Reb, not according to Rebbe Tam, if you recall, in terms of Simon, you know, you'd base. So then you can take off the tzitzis because you want to, you know, that's, or it's almost even if the tzitzis just get a little old and you want them to look nice and fresh, that's also a legitimate reason to take off the old tzitzis. Some argue it's better not to cut them, you should just untie them, but even if in patches, you can also cut them. So, the issue here is to take off perfectly good tzitzis for no reason and not to put them in a new beged. That would be some type of bittel from kedusha. You're allowed to take off the tzitzis from a mace. That's the minhag in chutzlar. Here in Eretz Yisrael, you bury a mace without tzitzis. We take off the talis before the burial. In chutzlar, you bury the mace with the talis, men, of course. And the minhag is to passel with tzitzis. Okay. It's all discussion. Anyway, the Maisa, what's being said here is you're not supposed to be mori mikdusha. If you have a talis, you shouldn't take off the tzitzis tam. Take off the tzitzis tam, you should do only mori mikdusha. You're allowed to take a talis gadol and make it into a talis katan. That's okay, because they're both mitzvos. So you can theoretically cut a talis, you know, in half and make a talis, two talis katans from it. You shouldn't take a talis of a gadol and give it to a katan. Because the gadol is chayev min Torah, and the katan is only chayev in mitzvos. This is the issue with hand-me-downs. If you have, you know, two brothers. So the 13-year-old boy shouldn't give his hand-me-downs because he's basically being mevatel the mitzvah of tzitzis from the beggar on a deraisa level.
Even the talis katan?
In talis katan, yeah. If the older brother's not using it anymore, he grew. So now it's not a question of visual mitzvah. Now it's not being used. So then you're allowed to cut and not use it. But if he's still using it, he shouldn't make it as a hand me down. There's even a discussion, you know, can you take tzitzis off a beged semer and put it onto a cotton beged? If cotton's only chayav d'rabbanan according to the Shulchan Aruch. So maybe that's also a form of fitzel mikedusha. Okay. My wife's family comes from the Rochester Rebbe, and
the Redeshetzer
Rebbe, of Shalom Bear, I think, or Redeshetzer. So they have in the family, they took the talis and they cut it into pieces. And every generation, you get like another. So my wife has, you know, like, you know, two strings from the talis. So I don't know how they cut the talis up. Meaning, why is it what
the strings from the bag?
The beged. So I don't know. Lechora, you're not allowed to cut a beged up unless it was puzzle. If the beged was puzzle, then it would be mutter. I never got the shot in the story, but. Okay. Oh. That's the biggest hichus, Avraham Avinu. Okay.
That's a string that may have been illegally taken. That's an order. We can't ask about a mice. Or this great uncle who taught us and then took his by his class. His great uncle's the dying. Visions. So he wanted
to wear
his
towels.
So he
wanted
to
wear his towels
and he took his.
Okay. And he wears a Rosh Hashanah Kippur. Bigger than the strings you have, you can do whatever you want. Tashmishi mitzvah nizrakin. So you can take the tzitzis and you can throw them in the garbage. But our custom is always to try to do another mitzvah. So if you have an old lulav, we don't just throw in the garbage, we save it to burn with the chametz. So you can directly save the strings to burn with the chametz. You can, you know, use them for Chanukah licht. You can use them for a bookmark in your sefer. If you want to throw them out, so our minhag is to wrap it up and throw it out. You don't throw it tzam and don't vaza the mitzvah. It's truth no longer being used. But you take the tzitzis and you put it in a plastic bag, and then you can throw it out. There's no chiyuv to put them in geniza, but because it's not they can act in a mevuzadik way. So if you have to throw them out, you use it for that way in a plastic bag and the like. Okay. Beis. Ein yachalika knaf kamosh hu yam tzitzis v'atafar v'beged acher. If you have a beged and the corner falls off, the whole corner with the tzitzis, you have like the square and the tzitzis all ripped off. You can't take that square and like attach it to another beged. Why not? Because that's the din of taseh, k'dilim taseh l'cha v'lo min ha'asui. So that would be a violation of taseh l'min ha'asui.
I was playing sports with my talus.
The whole thing ripped off.
And the entire corner got like stuck by a nail.
Wow.
And then like the entire thing just
ripped off. Wow. Okay.
Last time I played sports.
See, the way Shulchan formulates it is that it's a problem of kanfei bigdeyem has to be on the beged before you. It has to be put the tzitzis on the beged. Okay, fine. Um, So there's a question, can you put back that kanaf onto that beged if you'd want to? Would we say that's okay? That's a machlokas. Some say that would be okay, others say no, if you don't have four corners remaining, so then you can't put it back on either. It was nasis behakshir, it was nifsal, can you put it back on? And nobody does it today. People, if they're tzitzis rift, they throw them out. They don't, we're not poor. We have to start solving our tzitzis. But that's an interesting question fundamentally. Is that called tasa l'nasoi? From the Mechaber, it sounds like it's only a problem to put on the new beged. But if it was there, it wouldn't be a problem. Okay. Gimel. Talis b'tzienz k'chotza shechakul l'shtayim u'v'chol chelik yeshiv t'hisateif. If you have a talis that has tzitzis, and then you cut it in half. So now each side has two. Can you add on another two on each side, on each beged? You have two begadim now. Can you? Is that called the problem of tasa v'nasa or not? So the Mechaber says, ain v'mishim tasa v'nasa. It's fine. The talis was made b'hachshir. Now you cut it in half, so you have to add on another two corners on each one. The corners are there. You just have to add another two tzitzis on each side, and that's fine. Now, some of them argue on this. So, again, if it happens, it's probably better to take off the tzitzis and put them back on. The taz, Mishabur says, l'chatchilis b'koshish b'taz. Again, this doesn't really happen. So. What does happen is that sometimes the tzitzis, the beged itself rips. Let's say like on the shoulder, it rips. So it's not really wearable. So the question is, can you just fix that? Sew it up? Or do you have to sew it up, take off the tzitzis, and put them back on? Would that be a problem of tassel of monosoy? Similar type of question.
Can you, the case is where the tzitzis rip it too?
Yeah, you have, let's say, tzitzis with a talus gun. You have a talus gun. It's a square, like this. There are four corners, each one has tzitzis. Then you split it in half. Now, you want to make this into talus katan and this into talus katan. So you can add on tzitzis. It's not called talus katan, because these tzitzis were made by hasher. Now you have a new reality, you have two instead of one. So you add on another two on each side, and then the talus is kosher. Like I said, it doesn't really happen today. What does happen is that sometimes the tzitzis rip. And if the tzitzis rips, so then you have a question. You know, if you want to save the beged, let's say it rips on the shoulder. Is that okay? The chazish sounds like it's fine. He says it's fine. The pashas says it's fine. You know, let's say it rips over here. It rips a little bit, it rips halfway. You know, how much does it rip, you know, to make it really not a beged?
The V-neck question?
The V-neck, if it continues ripping. Right? The V-neck is something else, in terms of the shear, we're going to get to that.
Yeah.
But in terms of, let's say, when it rips. I don't think today many people really sew their tzitzis. You know, if their tzitzis rip, they just throw them out. If it rips a little bit, it's fine. If it rips most halfway down, then I think most people throw them out.
People sew up from V-neck.
Sewing up the V-neck is something else.
So that's for the shear.
That's for the shear, yeah. They won't have like... We'll get to that. It'll be nice. Pashas, if it rips robe, it's a problem. Okay, so much time. The next few sifrim aren't really so relevant. We'll just rip through them. No pun intended, ripping through them. Nikra, Talis, Toch, Shlosha, Espos, Samach, Lasas, Aknaf, Enor, Shaila, Tofra. So there's a concern that if you have a cut near the rip, near the string, so you're going to start sewing things up, and then what you're going to do is you're going to maybe use one of that string that you're using to sew the baguette as one of the tzitzis. That's of course possible. That string wasn't made lishma, so there's a concern about not sewing near the corners. We're concerned about that you're going to feel nikra kol shehu lo yitpor. If you say talis shel tzemer shenikra toch shlosha mutar litpor ladin, that they ain't derech litpor v'chut tzemer. So today we use talis. I mean, it's not like what the Shulchan Aruch is saying, but I'll just say that today when we sew things, we don't never sew with wool, and all our tzitzis today are made out of wool. You can't find tzitzis that are not made out of wool. So this halacha doesn't seem to be relevant, because if the concern is that you're going to use the string, the thread that you're using to sew your beged as one of your tzitzis, that's not going to happen, because our threads are made out of cotton and our tzitzis are made out of wool. Okay. From Amram Pirish, the time of Mishum, the Nikra Tok Shlosha Lesley Torah's beged, you command the Lesley Damley. So according to Rav Amram Gon, it seems like if it's cut down there, it's like as if it's gone. If Al goes the Tafra command the Pasi Kosher of the Avivet Sitzis Lopatra Talis. So you're saying Nikra and the Shaya Koshu Kosher. Showing to the Rav Amram Gon, if so, Al Sitzis Shahayubo be is Shetafra. Lim Acha Shetafra at Hitl Bot Sitzis Kosher. If you're trying to say they cool on Hecha the Efsher. Okay, so again, I'm not sure how relevant this halacha is. Most of us don't, you know, sow our tzitzis anyway, if they give it. If you can be nekav shat tzitzis tali volamata, im kodem talas at tzitzis l'kerash, also tzitzis hayasham v'shasa kerash kosher. So what does happen is that the tzitzis get pulled on things and the hole of the tzitzis widens, and that's okay, as we saw previously. If you can be shayri men of koshu v'tofro, achach v'hidl bo tzitzis, imu shal tzemer kosher l'kodi alma, v'imu shal shar minim, shirech l'itpor b'chutin shal oso min, l'itpor l'das rashi. So again, if you want to sew it up, so sew it up with with cotton strings and not with wool strings, which we don't have anyway. And the tzitzis are wool. There's no chashash. Okay. Hadover chetikas begav v'chanfei talis v'chein mashen uhagin litzpor savi v'nekev shat tzitzis bo im talis shal meshi v'tofer v'chut shal meshi lavan yishlochash b'tavad las rashi shli tiyash shum tefira l'mata mishalosh v'lamala mikesher gudo. So all our threads that we use shouldn't be made out of wool, because our tzitzis are wool, and that's what we do. The threads are made out of cotton or the like, and the tzitzis are made out of wool. Again, all these halachas I don't think are really relevant, as far as I can see, l'maisa. Okay, so we'll call it a day, and